A good rach to everybody as we begin Parshas Bechukosai. I want to begin with a comment that the Gemara makes, a very important comment, not just a comment, but really a halachic import. The Gemara says in the end of Meseches Megillah, in Daf Lamed Aleph, that klalos shebetoras kohanim, karnosam kodem atzeres, the klalos, the curses in Parshas Bechukosai must be read prior to the Antav of Shavuos. The Gemara continues and says that klalos Sheba Mishnah Torah, the curses in Sefer Dvarim, in Parshas Kisavo, Karnosam Kodem Rosh Hashanah are required to be read before Rosh Hashanah. So that is to say that the two sets of curses, the two Parshios, where there are Brachos and Klalos, specifically have to be read prior to Rosh Hashanah and Shavuos respectively. So the Klalos in Dvarim, in Parshas Kisavo, need to be read, must be read prior to Rosh Hashanah, and the Klalos and Taras Kohanim and Parshas Vayikra must be read or required to read prior to Shavuos. The Gemara raises the question, why? What's so critical in terms of reading the Brachos and the Klalos, the blessings and the curses, prior to Rosh Hashanah and prior to Shavuos? So the Gemara responds and says, Kidei shetichle shana v'kilolosel. We don't want to be reading the curses prior to a new year. It sort of gets the year off to a very, very bad start. So therefore, we want to finish the year off with its curses. We want to knock off the year with all of the trouble, the difficulties, the challenges, the trials and the tribulations. And of course, the klalos speak to that. It's true, there are brachos as well. But nonetheless, the klalos don't really speak so strongly to who Klal Yisrael, where Klal Yisrael is. Of course, the Ramban notes that the two sets of klalos refer to Churban Beis HaMikdash and Rishon and Churban Beis HaMikdash Hasheni. And thus, we have two sets of klalos that sort of foreshadow, reading the Torah, that there's going to be a Churban. So we don't want to begin the new year by reading the klalos, so we conclude the year with the klalos. The Gemara explains and asks, well, of course, there's a new year when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the new year, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. We all know that is the new year. Hayom Haras Olam. The Gemara says, Atu Atzeres Rosh Hashanah. Is Shavuos really Rosh Hashanah? Is that really, really also a new year? So the Gemara responds by referring to the first Mishnah, Meseches Rosh Hashanah, says, yes, it is a new year. Because Al Atzeres Nidonim Al Peros Ha'ilam. On the Yontav of Shavuos, there is also a level of judgment. And the judgment is on the fruit trees. So in Rosh Hashanah, man is judged. On Shavuos, plant life, the kingdom of plants and the fruits and the vegetables are judged, and therefore for that reason it's also considered to be a new year. There's a judgment as well. On many levels, interestingly enough, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Shavuos have a very common denominator. There are certain commonalities between these two Yomim Tovim. On the one hand, the Gemara tells us very clearly they're all days of judgment. We don't usually think of Shavuos as a day of judgment. But the fact that the Gemara links and connects Shavuos to Rosh Hashanah speaks very, very significantly to the fact that Shavuos is also a Yom HaDin. And in many of the Svarim, they point out that the Din of Shavuos is not only on the Peros HaIlah, not only on the fruit trees, but really on Torah and on Talmud Torah and who we are and our connection to Torah is also judged on that day. That's not something that's necessarily judged on Rosh Hashanah. But indeed, on Shavuos, there is a judgment both on the plant life as well as on one's connection to Torah. So you have these two bookends of the year, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, on the one hand as a time of judgment, the Hayom Haras Olam, the birth of the year, and therefore man is judged. And on the other hand, Shavuos also speaks to a certain level of judgment as well. And that's why there is this commonality, this sort of link between these 2 days, and the fact that the klalos, the curses, need to be read, speaks to these new beginnings of the year. Now, on many levels, the klalos and the brachos, the blessings and the curses, stated, both in Parshas Bechukosai, as well as in Parshas Devarim, in Parshas Kisavo, there are certain commonalities and there are certain differences. One of the commonalities we just stated, that both of them need to be read, both of these parshios must be read prior to the respective Yom Tov in Rosh Hashanah in Sefer Dvarim and Shavuos in Sefer Vayikra. But are there any other commonalities, any other similarities, and any other differences between the two? Let's speak to that. Moreover, let's ask yet another question. Is there anything else in Parshas Bechukosai that speaks to the upcoming Yom Tov of Shavuos? Is there anything else in the psukim, in the parsha that really speaks to preparing for Shavuos. Because clearly, the fact that the Gemara says that you need to and you're required to read Parshas B'chukosai prior to the Yom Tov of Shavuos would seem to indicate that there's something very, very apparent, something very important about Parshas B'chukosai that we need to understand, that we must understand before the Yom Tov of Shavuos comes. And the truth is, if you look in the opening pasuk, in all of Parshas B'chukosai, on page 708, the Torah tells us, "In b'chukosai teilechu, v'smitzvosai tishmeru v'asisem osam." Seemingly a very straightforward, simple pasuk. The pasuk speaks to the fact that if you follow in my statutes and you fulfill the mitzvos and you guard them and you watch them and you do them, then ultimately the brachos will come. As the pasuk then continues, "Osati gishmeichem biitam," you'll have rain at its right time. "V'nasna arts yuvula," the land will give you its produce. "Ve'itza sadi temperio," the fruit trees will bear fruit. But Rashi, on the opening pasuk, asks the very basic question: what is the words, the first three words in the parasha, mean? "Im bichukosai teilechu," if you walk literally and follow in my statutes. A chok is a statute, something that we don't necessarily understand. Parah Aduma, of course, is the primary, the most wonderful example of a chok. The Torah tells us, "Zos chukas haTorah," in Parshas Chukas, which we'll read in Sefer Bamidbar. A chok is something that we don't get, we don't understand. Chok is something that's unnatural, something that the mind can't grasp and grapple with. A chok is something that we're required to do, even though we don't understand why we're doing it. So Rashi asks the question, what is this referring to? "In bichukosai teilechu," which chok is the Torah referring to? Which statute, which ununderstandable mitzvah that we can't appreciate or understand logically is the pasuk referring to? Rashi says, "Yachol ze kium ha-mitzvos," is it referring to the fulfillment of mitzvos? "Kishuhu omer ves mitzvosai tishmeru hare kium ha-mitzvos amor." It can't be referring to mitzvos, because if you read the pasuk says, "In b'chukosai talecho ves mitzvosai tishmeru." So the Torah articulates mitzvos. So it can't be referring to mitzvos. "Hama'ani mekayim in b'chukosai talecho." Ask Rashi, if that's the case, what do these three words mean? "In b'chukosai teilechu," it's not referring to the mitzvos. What does it mean? "Will you follow in my statutes?" So Rashi, from quoting the Taras Kohanim, the Medrash to Sefer Vayikra, responds with the three most famous words: "Shetiu ameilim b'Torah," that you should toil in Torah. Rashi understands the first three words in Parshas B'chukosai, "In b'chukosai teilechu," follow my statutes, and then ultimately we will be privy, we will be privileged, we will be zochet to the brachos that the Torah records, is a reference to what? To toiling in Torah. And this, of course, has led all Meforshei HaChumash to try to understand and to explain, what does Rashi mean? Why does b'chukosai teilechu refer to the toil in Torah? Amelos b'Torah. What is it that dafka Rashi understands b'chukosai teilechu is a reference to Torah? And moreover, why is it that teilechu and b'chukosai is going to be the key to all the brachos of the Torah? Why is that what's going to bring all of the fruits and all of the rain and all of the produce? What is it about following in the toiling of Torah that's going to lead to this? A third question: why is Torah a chok? Why is Torah a statute? Torah is not a statute. Torah is the ultimate cognitive cognition that allows us to understand and to appreciate the Word of God. Torah is explained. Torah is logical. Torah makes sense. Torah is something that we toil in order to understand it. So how could you say b'chukosai teilechu is a reference to Torah, which is dafka the opposite of a chok? It's the antonym of a chok. The Torah is the most logical thing. The Torah we understand, we can explain, we teach it, we learn it, we study it. These are the questions that are raised on the position of Rashi. Amazingly, if you take a look in the commentary of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Reb Chaim ben Attar, the famed Torah commentary, who's buried on Har HaZeisim, offers 42 explanations to answer these questions. Talk about Shivim Panim LaTorah. Or HaChaim HaKadosh himself suggests 42 resolutions in a long commentary, short snippets, nuggets, to try to understand and to explain each of these problems and these difficulties. Specifically, the Archaim HaKadosh is most troubled by the latter question. How could Torah be a chok? How could Torah be something that we don't understand? I'll share with you one of the well-known answers to this question, and that is the answer of the Maharal. The Maharal in Gur Aryeh explains that the reason that in Bichukosai Teilechu is a reference to Amelos B'Torah is because of the linkage of the two words in the opening pasuk. In Bichukosai Teilechu. Bichukosai and Teilechu, chok, is something we don't understand. Teilechu means to walk, to follow, to travel, to pursue. And therefore, the Maharal explains that the reason that Rashi understands that Bichukosai Teilechu is a reference to toiling in Torah is because the word Teilechu is the giveaway. Teilechu means to walk, to travel, to constantly be involved. Halacha, Teilech, Yelech, Halach, Yelech, Uvacha. That word lech means to go. It's a sense of constant. It's consistency. It's something that we're always doing, we're always engaged, and we never stop. Somebody who loves Torah doesn't say, I have to study an hour here, an hour there, 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there. It completely preoccupies the person. It completely engages the person. It's like the Rambam explains, in the midst of Avas Hashem, ki cholas ahava ani, shlule sorascha sha'ashuai, as the pasuk in Davar HaMelech teaches us, Torah should make a person lovesick and so caught up and so involved and so engaged and such consistent caught up in the study and the pursuit and the appreciation of Torah, that is why the Torah understands. And Rashi explains, b'chukosai teilechu, is a reference to toiling in Torah. Only somebody who toils in Torah is a person who's bichukosai teilechu. If you follow in the statutes, you understand that really you're always involved. And that might be the reason why it's a chok. Because you keep on doing it over and over again, even though I know it, even though I understand it. Why do we review the daf over and over again? Why do we read the same perek of Tehillim over and over again? Why do we review the Nevi'im and the Mishnayos and the Gemara over and over again? I saw that, I read that, I saw that play, I watched that show. I understand that chapter, I did that section math already. The answer is no. When it comes to Torah b'chukosai teilechu, there's constant review because it's naturally inclining me to push, to pursue, to review, to want, to desire. And thus, that's the Chok HaTorah. The Chok HaTorah is as a result of the fact that we continue to go over it, to review it, even though we understand it, even though we know it. We read Parshas B'chukosai last year. We're going to read Parshas B'chukosai this year. We're going to read Parshas B'chukosai next year. We're going to continue to review it and to look at it with a different lens, with the different glasses. And that's the pshat in B'chukosai Teilechu, according to the Maharal, as to why Rashi understands that the word B'chukosai is a reference to toiling in Torah. So thus we see another reason why Parshas B'chukosai must be read, is required to be read, prior to Shavuos, is number one because of the klalos. We want to knock off the klalos prior to Shavuos. And number two, because it's a reference to all of the klalos emerge as a result of not following in toiling in Torah. If you follow, and if you toil in Torah, you'll be zocha to all of the brachos. But the inverse, the opposite, is if you don't do so. And that's what will bring about the klalos, and therefore that is what we are required to do. Yet there's another hint to why Parshas B'chukosai must be read prior to Shavuos, toward the end of the Klalos. And if you take a look, this speaks to yet another distinction between Parshas B'chukosai and Parshas Kisavo. We noted thus far that there's a commonality between the two Klalos. The fact that they both have to be read prior to the respective holidays. Parshas Kisavo must be read prior to Rosh Hashanah. Parshas B'chukosai must be read before Shavuos. So there we have a commonality. Both of them, as the Ramban explains, speak to the foreshadowing, the destructions of the first and second Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, we have two sets of Klalos. However, the Arachayim HaKadosh, who I just referred to moments ago, asks a very, very fundamental and basic question. And he notes a striking difference between the Klalos in Parshas B'chukosai and the Klalos in Parshas Kisavo. The Klalos which we read in Parshas B'chukosai conclude with a nechama, conclude with comfort. However, the Klalos in Parshas Kisava, which we read prior to Rosh Hashanah, conclude on a very difficult ending. There is no Nechama. There is no Bracha. There is no comfort. Why, asks the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, are the Klalos in Parshas B'chukosai conclude with Nechama, with comfort, as opposed to the Klalos in Parshas Kisava that don't? Take a look on page 716, and you'll see the concluding pasuk, psukim, in all of the klalos and parshas b'chukosai, are speak to words of nechama. The end of chapter 26, perech avav, pasuk membeis, page 716, a beautiful pasuk, a powerful pasuk. V'zacharti es prisi Yaakov, v'af es prisi Yitzchak, v'af es prisi Avraham eskor, v'haaretz eskor. The Torah concludes with such a beautiful, comforting pasuk that even after all of the klalos, after all of the curses, the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed, Eretz Yisrael will be destroyed, you're not going to keep Shemitah, the enemies are going to run after you, you're not going to be able to sleep in the night, you're not going to be able to rest in the day, everybody's going to be after you. Such difficulties, such pain, such trials and tribulations that Klal Yisrael are going to go through. We've lived through these klalos throughout our history. Jewish history is full of kalalos, full of curses, full of challenges, full of death and destruction and sickness and exile and diaspora that we read about in Parshas B'chukosai. Parshas B'chukosai, on a certain level, speaks to the challenges that the Jewish people have faced through their thousands of years of history. But nonetheless, even after all of that, and we've seen even after all of our challenges, V'zacharti es prisi Yaakov, the Torah tells us in Pasuk Mem Beis, I will remember the covenant that I made with Yaakov, the covenant that I made with Yitzchak, and also the covenant that I made with Avram, V'haaretz eskor. Asks the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, why dafka here, in Parshas B'chukosai, do we have this comfort? Do we conclude with this uplifting message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remember us? And He'll remember as the Torah goes on to continue, V'zachati l'mbris rishonim, asher hotseisi osa meretz mitzrayim l'nei ha-goyim li'os lahem l'alim ani Hashem pasuk mem hei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will remember the covenant that I made with your forefathers. I will remember the covenant that I made in Egypt with you. I am Hashem your God. And pasuk mem vav, 46 concludes on page 716. Eile hachukim amishpatim ataras asher nasan Hashem beino vein bnei Yisrael b'har Sinai b'yad Moshe. These are the curses, the blessings that concretize everything that we accepted at Matan Torah. So you see, there's a very positive, uplifting message. But if you look in Parshas Kisavo, the end of Sefer Dvarim, the end of Sefer Dvarim, the conclusion of Chamisha Chumshei Torah, immediately after the klalos complete, there is no bracha. There is no nechama. It concludes on a very sad ending. And listen to the answer that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains. It says, if you take a look in Parshas B'chukosai, if you read the entire Perek Chavav, chapter 26, you see something striking. The usage of language in each and every pasuk is in the plural. All in the plural. Take a look, just open up to any page, any pasuk in Parshas B'chukosai, from the beginning of the Parsha, in B'chukosai Seilechum, page 708, until the end of the Klalos, on page 716, it's all written in the plural. Take a look, we'll read some psukim together. Let's read some of the Klalos. Take a look, for example, page 714. Pasuk Lamed Vav, 36. V'hanisharim b'chem. The leftovers, the remainder, vehevesi morach bilvavam, in your hearts, be'artzos oivem, in the land of your enemies, viradaf osam, kol Allah, you will be chased after, plural, v'nosum minusas char v'naflu ve'in rodev, all plural, v'choshlu ish be'achiv, v'avadetem bagoyim, v'hizvadu es avonam, vehevesi osam, every pasuk, is referring to the totality of Klal Yisrael. But if you look at the Klalos in Parshas Kisavo and Sefer Dvarim, it's written in the singular. It's written to the individual, not in the Rabbim. A very, very important distinction. The Gemara actually makes this distinction in Megillah between the Klalos in Sefer Dvarim and the Klalos in Sefer Vayikra. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh uses that to answer his question. And explains that even when things are so bad, even when things are so difficult, if Klal Yisrael is connected, if Klal Yisrael is a rabbin, if Klal Yisrael are able to be misached, to group, to bond together, even when things are going wrong, we'll still be able to see nechama. We'll still be able to have comfort. We'll still be comforted. But at the Klalos and Sefer Dvarim, which are written in the singular, which are written in the language of the individual, when the Jewish people are disparate and separated, divorced, and not being able to be connected one to the other, that is the greatest challenge that Klal Yisrael faces, is the lack of achdus, and it's pirud. And when that occurs, there is no nechama. There is no bracha. There is no saving grace. There is no salvation. There is no nechama. Because in order for Klal Yisrael to be successful, in order for Klal Yisrael to rebound, in order for the Jewish people to make it out of the Klalos and to see Nechama following it, says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, is only when they're together. And that explains the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh why the conclusion of Parshas Bechukosai ends with Nechama, with comfort, as opposed to the conclusion of Parshas Kisavo does not. Since Parshas Bechukosai, the Klalos and Toras Kohanim are written Bilashon Rabbim, the Jewish people are together, they're a united front. They're grouped together, they're an army, they're all coming together and working together with their differences. Therefore, v'zecharti es brisi Yaakov, v'es brisi Yitzchak, v'es brisi Avram eskor, v'artz eskor. Kadosh Baruch Hu, remember that covenant that he gave to Avram, to Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that he created and fashioned with the three of us, with the Imahos, with Klal Yisrael, with Bnei Yisrael, in Mitzrayim, before Mitzrayim, after Mitzrayim. We're going to be together because we are together. But in Parshas Kisavo, when that's lacking, when that's not there, there can't be any nechama. And that's such a powerful message, of course, pre-Shavuos. When you talk about Kabbalah HaTorah, the Torah tells us in Parshas Yisro, immediately prior to the acceptance of the Torah, why was it that they were able to receive the Torah? Vayichan Shom Yisrael Kineged Ahar. Rashi asks the question, it shouldn't be written in the singular Vayichan, and they settled, lived, rested, encamped. It should say Vayichanu, Vayachanu in the plural. Asks Rashi, no, it's not written in the plural because Klal Yisrael were so connected. They were so together. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Kineged Ahar. Rashi famously says those four words, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. One man, one heart. Thus, the prerequisite to Kabbalah Satorah and Parshas Yisro is Vayichan Sham Yisrael Kineged Ahar Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. We have to be together. We have to be united. There has to be a sense of Achdus, whoever we are, wherever we are. And this correlates to the reason that we read Parshas Bechukosai prior to Shavuos. Because Parshas Bechukosai is the Parsha where even though it's bad, even though the going gets rough, and even though the Klalos are coming, still Klal Yisrael is together. We're united. We're in it together, even in the hard times, even in the bad times. And thus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could guarantee us that the covenant that he made with the Avos will be established, recognized, concretized, and reminded. V'ha'aretz ezkor. V'zecharti lebris rishonim asher hotzeisi osam eretz Mitzrayim. And this, of course, speaks to the power, the importance of Achdus, the significance, dafka, of Achdus prior to Shavuos, derech eretz. We couldn't receive the Torah without first being able to understand, appreciate each other and our differences. That's Vayichan Sham Yisrael Kineged Ahar Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad, and thus yet another reason why Parshas Bechukosai must be read prior to Shavuos. Number one, we have to knock off the klalos, as described in the Gemara. Number two, shetu amelim b'torah, as Rashi says in the opening pasuk in Parshas Bechukosai. And now a third possible pshat, the understanding of the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, that we must read this parsha prior in order to appreciate that we need to be get together. We need to get along. We need to be united, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult. And that will allow us to generate successful existence and to certainly be able to receive the Torah yet again. But I believe yet there's another reason to explain the dafka now, that Parshas Bechukosai must be read prior to Shavuos. It's the very same pasuk that we just read. Page 716, Perek Chavav, Pasuk Membeis, the same pasuk, V'zachartis Brisi Yaakov, V'afes Brisi Yitzchak, V'afes Brisi Avram Eskor, V'haaretz Eskor. The Torah here references the three Avos, the Shloshes Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But note, of course, it's in descending order. We start with Bris Yaakov, then we move to Bris Yitzchak, and then to Bris Avraham. Reb Shimshon for Hirsch raises this question and questions, why is it that here the Torah goes out of its way to refer to the Avos in descending order? Why Dafka beginning with Yaakov and then with Yitzchak and then to Avraham? Typically the Torah teaches us that Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. What's happening here? Why is it out of order? The Tur, the son of the Rush, in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, notes that the three regalim are actually keneged the Shloshes Avos. Just like the trilogy, Torah, Tefillah, and Tzedaka. And just like Al Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Omed, Al HaTorah, V'al Avoda, V'al Gemilus Chasadim. Just like we have Shachris, Mincha, and Mariv. The number three is very significant. And moreover, it's significant because of the Shloshes Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But there's another correlation between Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and that the Torah says is to the three pilgrimages, the three holidays, the three Yomim Tovim. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Which Yomtiv is the Yomtiv of Avram? Which Yomtiv is the Yomtiv of Yitzchak? And which Yomtiv is the Yomtiv of Yaakov? So the Torah explains that Avram Avinu, in Parshas Vayera, when he met the Malachim and invited them into his home, what did he tell them? Lushi ve'asi ugos. And what does Rashi say that he made for them? Matzah. It was the Yom Tov of Pesach. Avram Avinu celebrated Pesach. Avram Avinu is the Av of Pesach. Avram Avinu, of course, is the Av Hamon Goyim, the founder of monotheism. The one who asked, Ni Baal Habira, where is God? Who is the master of this universe? And of course, that's what Pesach is all about. Pesach is all about emuna, bitachon. It's all about appreciating the fact that we were saved, we were redeemed from Egypt. Biyodcha gdola b'zruacha netuya. Lo al yidei malach, lo al yidei shliach, lo al yidei acher, elo kadosh baruch hu. Thus, Avram Avinu and the Yom Tov of Pesach intrinsically connected. Avram Avinu founded God as an individual, and on Pesach, we found God as a unit, as a nation, as a klal. And Avraham Avinu was a harbinger, foreshadowed, allowed us to give, put the DNA into the Jewish people, to be believers, to be ma'amina b'nei ma'aminim. V'yaminu b'ashem uv'moshe avdo. Thus Avraham Avinu is keneged the Yom Tov of Pesach. The first of the Avos is keneged the first of the Yomim Tovim. Avram is keneged Pesach. But the Torah goes on and continues and explains that Yitzchak, his Yom Tov is the Yom Tov of Shavuos. What is it about Yitzchak Avinu and Shavuos that correlate one to another? So the Torah explains Yitzchak was ne'ekad al gabe hamizbeach. Yitzchak Avinu was placed on the altar. Yitzchak Avinu was willing to sacrifice himself as a 37-year-old man. He understood what was happening. And of course, that's what Klal Yisrael did many years later when they said, Na'aseh v'nishma. We don't understand. We don't get it. We don't appreciate it. But we're willing to sacrifice everything for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Na'aseh v'nishma. It's keneged Yitzchak being the one who has neker al gabei hamizbeach. His individual na'aseh v'nishma became Klal Yisrael's collective na'aseh v'nishma. And thus the Yom Tov of Shavuos is keneged Yitzchak Avinu. But what happened when Yitzchak was placed on the mizbeach and he was neker al gabei hamizbeach? What did Avram Avinu see? Ayil echad nechav b'svach. Yitzchak Avinu saw, Avram Avinu saw a ram that was entangled, that was getting tripped up and caught in these difficult situations, stuck amongst all the brush. And what does a ram have? A ram has a horn, the ayil. And what was it that was blown at Matan Torah? It was that shofar. The very shofar of Yitzchak Avinu, who was supposed to be Nekar al Gabei Hamizbech, instead was the Ayil Echad. And Shenechaz B'Svach was that ram's horn that was blown at Matan Torah. Kolos u'birokim ve'anon kaved al ahar b'shofar gadol yitoka. And those are the psukim that we read on Malchios and Rosh Hashanah and shofaros and Rosh Hashanah referencing the Akedah in Zichronos that refers to Yitzchak Avinu's own Kabbalah Satorah, his own personal Kabbalah Satorah's willingness to act, his willingness to be strong, to stand up, to be prepared, and to say Na'aseh v'nishma. And ultimately, of course, Kadosh Baruch Hu sent the gift that was called the shofar, and that's going to be the shofar shel Mashiach. That's going to be the sound of the ayil that's going to blow in the future. Thus we move from the Akedah of Avram and Yitzchak to the Akedah of the Aseres HaDibros of Matan Torah, ultimately leading us to the Shofar Shel Mashiach. That's yet another trilogy following in the pattern of Shavuos Keneged Yitzchak. So if Pesach is Keneged Avram Avinu, and if Shavuos is Keneged Yitzchak Avinu, of course that leaves only Yaakov Keneged Sukkos. But what is it about Yaakov Avinu that celebrates Sukkos? So the Torah tells us very clearly, where did Yaakov go? What was the place that Yaakov Avinu escaped to after running from Esav? What was the name of the place that he hid out and he ran to? Sukkos. The first time that we see the word sukkah in the Torah is in reference to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu ran to this place called Sukkos. And in Sukkos is where he encamped. And in Sukkos is where he was. And Sukkos is where he spent his time. And therefore Yaakov Avinu is the Av of Sukkos. But it's not just because he found himself in this place called Sukkos, but Yaakov Avinu's life was the most difficult, most painful, most complicated. The loss that he has had of Yosef and Dinah, the challenges that he had with his brother Esav and his father-in-law Lavan were very difficult. But nonetheless, what did Yaakov say? Yesh li kol. I have everything I need. If I have a sukkah, I have everything. I don't need anything else. Esav, of course, his brother, his twin brother, said, Yesh li rav. I have a lot, but I'm not satisfied with what I have. I want more. And Sukkot celebrates the life of Yaakov Avinu, a life of kol, a life of completeness, a life of being satisfied with everything that I have. Thus, bakol, mikol, kol, which we say in benching, bakol is Avram, mikol is Yitzhak, kol is Yaakov. Because yet the trilogy of the Avos speak to the continuity of Klal Yisrael, the Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, and continues with us living a life of Bakol, Mikol, Kol. We have everything that we need. We're satisfied. From Pesach to Shavuos and to Sukkos, we'll follow you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, throughout the year, the same way that you led us throughout our history out of Mitzrayim and Pesach to accept the Torah and Shavuos. And as we wandered in the Midbar for 40 years, you protected us, you looked after us, you wanted to make sure that we were going to be okay with the Mun and the Slav and the Be'er and the Anane HaKavod. Kol, we have everything we need. We live a life of Yaakov Avinu. Thus, again, we see yet another important reason to read Parshas Bechukosai prior to Shavuos. Because here we speak to the Shloshes Avos, and we speak to the three Yamim Tovim, Avram and Pesach, Yitzchak and Shavuos, Yaakov and Sukkos. Yet again, another reason to remind us, to prepare us, to excite us, to internalize the message of the Shloshes Regalim and to understand what it means that we're going to do on Shavuos. When we're in a Kabbalah Torah of Nasev and Ishma, we're prepared to be like Yitzchak Avinu. We're prepared to live the life of Nasev and Ishma. And that's what Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch says when he explains the descending order of the psukim. We start with Yaakov, we move to Yitzchak, and we move to Avram. And explains Rav Hirsch that this speaks to the Jewish historical life that we've lived through. We begin with the life of Yaakov Avinu. We live through challenges and struggles and darkness, trials and tribulations, pain and suffering. We live through the Esavs and the Lavans, the challenges of the Yosefs and the Dinas. And if we're able to succeed, persevere, manage to get through that, we've passed one type of exile, the exile of Brisi Yaakov. And that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is what he's telling us, that I will live with you and I will live through that covenant with you. Pass through the covenant of Yaakov, the challenges, the difficulties, the Holocaust, the Crusades, all of the challenges, the difficulties, the death and destruction, the sickness, and all of the difficulties that we've had. Expulsions, execution, terrorism, that's Bris Yaakov. And if you pass that, says Rav Hirsch, you move to the second stage, Bris Yitzchak. Yitzchak had highs and lows in his life. There were good days, there were bad times, there were up times, there were sad times. He tried to continue the path of his father Avram. It went and it didn't go. The Plishtim and others, the Be'er. Yitzchak Avinu had ups and downs, and says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, stick with me when it's good and when it's bad, when there's light, when there's dark, when there's or when there's choshech, stick with me. That's the bris of Yitzchak. Follow me, even during those times, when there's a good week and there's a bad week. There's Yimei Ahuva and Yimei Snua. That's the bris Yitzchak. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you pass the Bris Yaakov, If you pass the Bris Yitzchak, then you reach Bris Avram. Avram's life was a life of shining, glory, clarity. It's boker. It's tov l'hodos l'shem l'zamer l'shim chalion l'hagi b'boker chazdecha. It's a life of shachris. It's a life of emunah. It's a life of bitachon. It's a life of the sun is shining. It's a life of finding God, the freshness, bringing other people tachas kanfei hashchina. And then I will bring you to the third gullus when things are clear, when things are obvious, when things are kiboker or. And when you pass these three stages of Bris Yaakov and Gullus Yaakov, Bris Yitzchak and Gullus Yitzchak, Bris Avram and Gullus Avram, then ultimately V'haaretz Eskor, that's when you'll be returned to the land. That's when Eretz Yisrael will become yours. And thus again, prior to Shavuos, we need to inculcate and appreciate, understand the messages of the Avos, the messages of Shachris, Minch, and Marv, the messages of the different times of the year and the cycles of the year and the world history and Jewish history, how things repeat themselves and as we're moving in the direction to reach from Bris Yaakov to Bris Yitzchak to Bris Avram, ultimately landing V'haaretz Eskor, because the Yom Tov of Shavuos is all about the Eretz, it's Atzeres. The Yom Tov of Shavuos speaks to agriculture. The Yom Tov of Shavuos speaks to reaping the harvest, reaping the land, and being able to collect everything that we worked so hard for. Shavuos speaks to the time when everything is clear, when we are able to say Naseh V'Nishma uncontested, unshakable. We believe, we see, we are able to say those two words with passion, with fervor, with excitement, without being challenged. We're not scared. We're not encumbered. We'll say it and we'll live it. That's the life of Yitzchak, and that's why Shavuos is all about din. Again, just like we read the Klalos in Rosh Hashanah and on Shavuos prior, because there's a certain correlation between the Yom HaNuraim and Atzeres, again you see din appear on Shavuos because Yitzchak is the Midah of din. Avram is Chesed, Yitzchak is din, and again there's a level of judgment. Will we say Naseh V'Nishma? Will we not? Will we accept the Torah? Will we not? And thus again, Parshas B'chukosai speaks in very loud terms to the Yom Tovim, and specifically to Shavuos. But yet I think there's a final correlation between the Yom Tov of Shavuos and Parshas B'chukosai, which speaks to the reason why we need, we must, we're required to read Parshas B'chukosai prior to Shavuos. You'll see something startling in chapter 26, Perek Chavav, of Parshas B'chukosai, the Perek and the Parsha of the Klalos. There are 46 psukim. If you look from the beginning of Parshas B'chukosai on page 708 until the end of Perek Chavav on page 716, if you count the psukim, you'll see that there are three times the amount of klalos than there are brachos. Roughly 30 psukim of klalos and 10 psukim of bracha. Page 708 opens up with the brachos in B'chukosai Teilechu, Ves Mitzvosai Tishmer V'Asisim Osam in Pasuk Gimel. Page 708, the opening Pasuk Gimel in Parshas B'chukosai, and that continues to Pasuk Yud Gimel. Exactly 10 psukim of bracha. Va'olech eschem komamius, and you'll enter the land of Israel b'komamius, b'komas kufa, erect. You'll be strong, you'll be powerful. But starting in Pasuk Yud Dalet on page 710, all the way till the end of the klalos, on Pasuk Membeis is 30 psukim. And it always troubled me. How could it be that there are three times the amount of klalos than there are brachos? Why is that? Why are there so many klalos, such detail, such minutia, such specificity in terms of the klalos as opposed to the brachos? So I think I appreciated an answer when I learned how to count. And that is as follows. There are two ways to count. You can count quantitatively. That's numbers, 1, 2, 3, 10, 20, 30. But there's another way to count, and it's called quality, qualitatively. And what the Torah is telling us, I believe, prior to Shavuos, and what the Torah is teaching us such a critical lesson, the world doesn't work. And Torah shouldn't be judged in terms of quantity. Torah needs to be judged in terms of quality. Read the first 10 psukim. Don't count the numbers of psukim, but appreciate the brachos. The brachos in those 10 psukim are everything that you need. You don't need anything else. If you have gishmeichem bi'itam, if you have rain at the right season, if the land will give you its bounty, If you're able to chase after your enemies and your enemies won't chase after you. If you're able to enter the land of Eretz Yisrael, komamius, upright, strong. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu will keep this covenant. If the Mishkan will enter and we will be able to settle Mishkani b'sochachem, v'lo sigal nafshi eschem, and we won't be thrown out of the land. And on page 710, Pasuk Yud Beis, v'hisalachti b'sochachem, I will walk amongst you. Like the opening Pasuk in Bichol Kosei Teilechu, v'hisalachti b'sochachem. If you walk with my statutes, I will walk with you. V'hayisi lachem elokim v'atem tili l'am. Is there anything else that we need? Is there anything else that a Jew needs and the Jewish people need besides that one Pasuk Yud Beis? V'hisalachti b'sochachem. Do we not want God to walk with us, to dwell amongst us? Do we not want Hashem to be our God and we will be His nation? Ani Hashem Elokeichem asher hotzeisi eschem eretz Mitzrayim miyasei ha'avadim ve'eshpar mutos ulchem ve'olech eschem chumias, and I will allow you to enter the land of Israel strong and proud, unencumbered, without any enemies, without any challenges, no knives and no guns, no axes and no war. Is there anything else that we want? Is there anything else that we need? And thus, prior to Kabbalah Satorah, we have to again appreciate quality versus quantity. And not to judge things based upon numbers and algorithms and amount and weight and height and numbers. That's not the way to count, the Torah is telling you. That's a quantity. The Torah is teaching us, when you're mekabel the Torah, it's quality. The Torah that you're learning, it's not the amount of minutes and hours that you learn. What's the quality of your Torah learning? The Torah is not going to require us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to ask us, how many hours did you learn? But the Gemara tells us in Maseches Shabbos, and another Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to ask, Kavata itim otar, did you set aside? Not how many hours did you learn today, but did you make time? Is it yours? Did you create that quality of life? Because that's what the Parsha is teaching us in terms of the Brachos versus the Klalos. It's true there are 30 psukim of Klalos, and there are only 10 psukim of Bracha. But at the end of the day, those 10 psukim of Bracha is all that we need. There's nothing else. It's the basics. And if we have those things, and we have what's referred to, articulated, discussed, promised, and guaranteed to us in those opening 10 psukim, from Pasuk Gimel to Pasuk Yud Gimel, pages 708, in the beginning of page 710, there's nothing else that we need. Thus, this speaks to the reason, I believe, why Parshas Bichukosai must be read prior to Yom Tov of Shavuos, to finish the klalos, to knock them off. As the Gemara says, klalos shebetoras kohanim, we want all the klalos to be finished, all the pain, the suffering, the struggles. We have a new year that's beginning. It's called Shavuos. It's a new start, a fresh beginning. The peros that you learn are ripe. The Jewish people are fresh. We're going to accept the Torah again. Finish the klalos and let's start anew. Number one. Number two, like the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh explains, that the klalos and parshas b'chukosai written b'lashon rabbim. They're written in the plural, and there too, we too have to be a rabbin. We too have to be plural. We have to be connected. We have to be a people who are united. And then we're able to accept the Torah, ki ish echad b'lev echad. Vayichan sham Yisrael kineged ahar. That's what allows us to succeed and to survive. Number three, the final bris, the comfort that we receive, the necham at the end of the parsha. On page 716, Pasuk Membeis, the Zacharti bris Yaakov bris Yitzchak and bris Avram, that the Shloshes Avos are connected, the Shloshes Yamim Tovim. Yitzchak is connected to Shavuos, and we have to understand and appreciate why and how. And thus, that's another reason why Parshas B'chukosai needs to be read. And finally, the Torah is coming to teach us how to count and how to appreciate, how to understand. And that's the quality. The quality of our Torah learning, the understanding of who we are as a people. Don't just count numbers. Don't just be stuck to weight and measurements. Don't just be stuck to looking at things on a very superficial level, but appreciating things on a broader, bigger, deeper way. And therefore, the opening 10 psukim of Parshas B'chukosai gives us a lesson and an insight how to learn Torah and to appreciate Torah. The Chachmas HaTorah is only through the quality of our Torah learning, the depth of our Torah learning, and understanding and appreciating that will allow us to accept the Torah yet again. This Shavuos, Be'ava, Be'simcha, Be'cheshek, and Be'ezos Hashem Yisbarach, we should all be zochet to celebrate Yerushalayim, to celebrate the Yom Tov in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, and have a Kabbalah HaTorah and freshly accept the Torah. Be'ezos Hashem Yisbarach, wishing everybody a wonderful day and a terrific, terrific Yom Tov.